This week on the Welly Sport Podcast.
Oh! Fulham strike, he has got something about him, this lad.
And I remember when I drove into Wellington, I was like, wow, this is awesome. And I can't even remember where that, there was a third interview, but it was, I remember just saying, no, this is me. Training with guys that were better than you, or older, more experienced, you know, you're learning from them and you know you're developing as you grow. And that's still how I feel, you know, when I'm in the changing room mixing with these guys, you know, you watch these guys how they train, you feed off them, you have conversations and you get tips off them. And that's, I think, the best way of learning is watching how these guys do it, the guys that have done it on the big stage. If you're having tough conversations with coaches and tough conversations with yourself, looking yourself in the mirror, because you know you've been asked these questions and challenged, I feel like that's a great way of developing.
What was it like to be a part of all the World Cup and everything?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was, I mean, and definitely the greatest game that's ever been played. I mean, you couldn't script that. It was just incredible. When getting selected for that World Cup squad, you know, when I got that call, that was honestly a huge relief, and something I was really, really proud of, to be involved. I obviously didn't get to play in the World Cup, which was hard as well. You sort of, you know, you're training, you're building up to play, but then at the same time, you know, you've got to be there and willing to provide for those guys, the 11 guys on the field, because, you know, those are the most important people on the day. I found myself sitting on the bench there sometimes and just trying to take it all in, because it was truly, truly amazing.
All right, hello, well, welcome to the Welly Sport Podcast, where our aim is to provide interesting sports-related conversations with anyone from the world of sport, including old Wellingtonians now involved in sport or other individuals who now work within the world of sport. For this episode, your hosts are me, Mr. Pratt, and I'm also pleased to welcome my co-host today, First 11 keeper batter, Mac. Mac, would you just want to give the listeners a little bit of info about yourself, I guess a bit of your story at Wellington, and I guess what you've been up to in lockdown?
Yeah, nice. So, I'm Mac. I'm upper sixth this year, and this will be my third year in the first team. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're going to get any cricket this year. But, cricket's my main sport at Wellington. I play a bit of rugby as well, but missing out on the cricket this year, and I've been having a few nets in lockdown with me and Dad in the past week or so. But yes, missing the game, I think.
Yeah, it's all cricket's a bit of a funny space, isn't it? I don't think we don't really seem to be sort of knowing what's going on, when it's coming back or anything like that at the moment. But hopefully in the next few months we might find something out. And so I guess moving on, so you've got myself and Mac hosting today, and I think we're super lucky today to have an old Wellingtonian, but someone who's gone on and has already achieved a lot in the game of cricket, and I'm sure has got more to achieve and has got an interesting backstory, and is someone who I can say has always been willing to sort of give back to Wellington since his time here. So we've got Tom Curran joining us today on the line. Tom, how are you doing?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me. All good this side. Thank you.
And I guess same question to you, TC, that I just asked Matt. Your sort of story, your background, and I guess what you've been up to recently.
Yeah, well, I mean, the story, TC, we could dive into it. It's a pretty long story, but I mean, I guess from sort of starting off at Wellington, yeah, that was, well, I mean, time's flown by now. It must be, what's that, sort of six, no, it's longer now. I think it's almost eight years ago since I first started, when I was 16. I'm 25 now. I mean, time, yeah. So, started at Wellington, and I mean, time's flown by since then. I had two amazing years there. You had to put up with me not only just on the cricket field, but in the PE lesson, which was my stronger of the two, I would say, the academics and the sport. But managed to play a bit of sport after school. But no, it was brilliant. Yeah, I had an amazing time at Wellington, and it was a very enjoyable 2 years.
And TC, I guess just to sort of get into it a little bit, because similar background as we've just we've spoken of before we got going between you and Mac, but your background before coming to Wellington, or sort of leading to Wellington?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, if you want to go so sort of right back to the beginning, obviously, grew, spent the first 5-6 years of my life in England. So whilst my dad was playing at Northants, and the two little brothers were still toddlers. we spent the first 6 years of our life, well, of my life here in England, and then moved to Zimbabwe, where my dad was coaching and farming. Moved our life out there and spent the majority of our junior school was there. So did that in Zimbabwe, and then when I was going to high school, ended up going to Hilton College, which was in Durban, South Africa. So, like Mac was saying, he went to Clifton, which is almost a feeder school, you could say, to Hilton, which I've actually got a few really good friends who went to Clifton. So I've heard some really good things about that. And then when I was about 15, 16, how it sort of started, I was playing a first team cricket game for Hilton against an Australian touring side. And it was my first game as captain of the first team. So going after that first stop, you know, the boys wanted to win. And as schoolboy cricket is the standard thing, you want to get out there, have a bat big, skittle them in 15 overs and off you go. And I lost the toss. So the boys weren't happy with me. We were in the field and try to run in and take a few poles. Luckily, things weren't my way. Bowled really nicely. And their coach was a guy called Ian Gregg, which I'm sure a lot of cricket lovers will know who he is. Obviously a Surrey legend, and brothers of Tony, another legend of the game.
Yeah.
And he spoke to me after the game and sort of mentioned about, you know, county cricket, would I be interested? Which I always knew I was coming back to England. I think when I was actually going to high school, I came over to England to go and do a couple of interviews at a couple of high schools to come and, you know, move back here and get ready to, we'll take on that next chapter of my life, really, high school. But ended up not coming over. I was 13, 14, just going to high school, and to move over to England then by myself. We decided against it at that time. A few years later, when I met up with Ian, things just escalated really quickly from there, really, from that game. I met up then with the Surrey Academy. And to be honest, I didn't actually think anything of it when I spoke to Ian. I really didn't take any of it in. It was sort of a quick chat after a game. Didn't think anything was going to come from it. And the long and short of it, I met up with the Surrey Academy, who were touring Cape Town, went and played a couple of games for them. And then they basically invited me over to come and play a couple of second team games for Surrey. So flew over. And this is actually quite funny, actually. When I first flew over, I landed. I must have landed, I don't know, in the morning, and say the next day, I think I had the first game that I was playing, a second team game against Middlesex. And I remember going to the warm up, and I was still knackered from the flight. I said, so warming up to bowl, I was, you know, just a casual little warm up, half run type thing. I didn't get a bowl in that game. I think John Lewis probably thought, who's this bloke? He's clueless. I'm not giving him a bowl. So I didn't get a bowl that first game, which was the rain effect. And I remember thinking to myself, what is this? I mean, it was one of those. Anyway, went to the next game up in Kent. We were playing against Kent's second team, and they had a couple of good players, I mean, who have gone on to play a lot of county cricket. Daniel Bell Drummond was playing, you know, these sort of guys, which I've ended up playing with. So I knew who these guys were, and I was excited to play against them anyway. So we started playing that game, got to lunch, sort of tea time, and I still hadn't bowled on day one. And now I'm thinking, I really don't know what's going on. Yeah, it was remarkable. My mum had actually come to watch, and I said, yeah, anyway, let's count down the days, sort of thing. Got thrown the ball after tea. And it was completely different because in South Africa and Zim and stuff, it was all kookaburra balls. So as like now you can see with white ball cricket, the kookaburra ball doesn't do a hell of a lot. To have the Duke's ball in my hand, it was a nice change. It was a nice overcast. The clouds started coming in just after lunch, all set up. And they nicked a few, managed to take five for in a session there. and the rest is history, really. I met up with the Surrey first team, carried the drinks there. Bowled in the nets to KP. It was the game. He got 234 against Lancashire at Guildford. Yeah, carried the drinks there, bowled a bit in the nets, and Alex Stewart then basically offered me a contract, and I moved back. What was it? I mean, I think I started at Wellington from the point then. It must have been no longer than 3 weeks later. It happened so quickly. I flew back, yeah.
Only jumping in briefly, Tom. I remember that happened so quickly, didn't it? That whole process from that point onwards.
Yeah, it did. Honestly, I flew back to Zim. I mean, to South Africa, sorry. Literally packed my stuff. Flew over to England. I had a few interviews lined up. I remember I went to Reeds first. I was in the morning, did an interview there, chatted to the headmaster, had a little look around the school. Then came over to Wellington. I remember when I drove into Wellington, I was like, wow, this is awesome. And I think we spent a few hours there. I met you. I met Franco. We chatted, had a tour of the school, and I can't even remember where that. If there was a third interview, but it was, I remember just saying, no, this is me. I'm set. Let's get things sorted. it was done. That's how it happened, really. And and then I was all set. So that was sort of September time, wasn't it? So end of the summer. Then the first winter came, and yeah, that was a little shock to the system there, those dark days. And it wasn't made easier when you kept putting me in that Saturday detention at Paddy.
I'm not sure that did it ever get that far. I don't think it ever was that bad. It was probably Mr. OC or
honest, you guys were all brilliant. There was that was the one difference I think I noticed was the sort of the feel in terms of a lot of the teachers at Wellington and the coaches and stuff were, but I felt like there was more of a actual relationship with the teachers than a sort of a teacher hierarchy, teacher student thing or a coach, and I loved that. I mean, it's you obviously, Franco, you guys have sort of gone through the Surrey system, you've gone on to play cricket, you know, you've been involved in the game, and I think that helped. That was really cool. I enjoyed that aspect to it, and that helped me, definitely. That definitely helped me.
I think obviously that's, you know, it's good to hear Wellington's role in that. I think you're generous if you're comparing anything to do with my cricket career compared to what you've managed to achieve in the game so far. I think is very generous. But let's not dig too much into the next part of that pathway for you, because we'll probably get into it as we get chatting. And I know Mac's got some questions on sort of what led on after Wellington and sort of Surrey, and then obviously what you've achieved more recently with the England side and that kind of part of your career. Mac, just to come to you at this point, sort of obviously Tom's background there, moving from South Africa to the UK, sort of heard a bit about that. The process you went through, remind me, you joined Wellington in what year?
So I joined after the first term in third form.
Yeah.
So I grew up in England because whole family's English, and then moved out to South Africa when I was 6 years old for dad was over there coaching a bit of rugby. And we ended up staying there for 9 years instead of the two that was planned. and then when we came back, it was, well, dad knew Mr. Dahl, the current headmaster, from when he did some rugby coaching at Brighton College. So that's how I ended up getting an interview after playing a tour game against Eagle House the year before. And about 2 months later, I was starting in my first term at the Hill. So it was a quick change around, but one of the best decisions I've ever made.
And I guess like the same process, isn't it? For the rest is now history. But I seem to remember having some conversations when that process happened, Mac. And it just all seemed to happen quite quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, it was good, and I was obviously lucky enough, thanks to you, straight away in the first term, I was down doing all the training sessions and got to train a little bit with Sam, and a couple of occasions he was actually at the school and not with the Surrey first team at the time. But yeah, that was a great experience coming over as a 13-year-old training with Sam is obviously at that stage played for the Surrey first team, taken fifers and everything. And it was a really good experience and really challenging, which I think has really helped make me the cricketer I am today, playing with players at a much higher level. You have to adapt really quickly.
Yeah, and I can see Tom nodding. I know Tom will tell us that Sam's only as good as what Tom's been able to teach him over the years, what he's learned from his big brother in the nets and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Fortunately, never got the opportunity. I was a bit too late to do anything with Tom, but I'm sure it's a different
you
level.
You didn't miss much of my performances at Wellington anyway. There's not too much to write home about.
Before I sort of pass to Mac for some questions of your sort of the recent career path, Tom, just a bit of fun. Now, I'm not sure how many of these you're going to remember, Tom, in terms of we'll play a bit of word association. I'll ask Mac afterwards. I definitely know a couple of these. I'm sure you didn't take part in TC, but I'll see what your thoughts are on them anyway. The first one... This one I think you were involved in at some point, but if you had to pick between detention or fatigues, which are you picking, if you remember back to what those were at Wellington?
Fatigues.
Do you remember what fatigues were?
No, what are fatigues again? I forgot. I can't remember fatigue. What is that?
Mac, do you want to try and explain that one?
In short terms, fatigues is basically for however many days you set it. It's a 7 a.m. wake up in school uniform, call over at
I'm already going for the old detention.
Yeah, it's
I don't uniform. Think I got that. I definitely didn't get that actually. Don't think I got that one.
It's an easy one for me, definitely detention.
Yeah, take detention, because that's usually in the evenings, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or in the afternoons or so.
Detention came up a couple of weeks ago when I had we had Jack Davis and Shoffy on, and I think they both went for detention as well. You've got to have a choice, and the choice is turf or big side.
Easy question.
Oh yeah, that's easy, isn't it? Turf, can't go wrong. What a setting, what a ground.
No. Best place in school.
Hopefully, having a few people following that will probably have the cricket background. I suspect that's the right answer as well at this point in time. Next one. Now, this one, I'm not sure if you took part in any of these, Tom. Keasty, I don't know for you either, if you ever had a crack at either of these, but you got the Bowie run. Tom, can you remember what that one is?
So, yeah, that's sort of top of the school there. You run down. Yeah, I remember
this one
that.
They come back up, or Pink Pav Dash, which is the one sort of running around the entire perimeter of turf. So if you had to choose between the Bowie run or Pink Pav Dash?
I think I'm going the Bowie run. How do you say
that? Yeah, Bowie run.
I'm going for that, I think, shorter. give it all quick burst and then, rather than that long, slow grind. I think I prefer the first. And I remember watching that, actually. That got super competitive, didn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus, and taking a few people out at the start a lot.
Mac, if you had to choose, which one are you going for? You're in a group?
Yeah, it's probably the same for me, the Bowie run. I haven't actually done that one, but I did the Pink Pav Dash one year and it wasn't pleasant. About a 700-meter sprint all around, going as quick as you can, and that wasn't
That's...
It always makes me laugh when you kind of bring these questions up, because Tom, you all now have experience bowling like long spells and things like that, and obviously kind of are happy doing it. I use the word happy. I'm happy doing it, but you do it, and Matt used to sort of keeping for a sort of a full 50 overs and longer as well. But kind of, I guess, more bearable when it's cricket.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you're bowling in, like you say, those long spells, you almost get in a rhythm, don't you? You're in a contest, you're in a battle, and your adrenaline's getting you through. It's a different type of fitness, definitely. That sort of running if you're doing a long bike or something, that you're going to get tired and mentally fatigued. It's different. I think when you're in battle, it's completely different. Yeah. So definitely take those long spells over that pink dash.
Last one on these, and because you're in the Harding, I know you'll have definitely experienced one of them, and I can't remember whether or not you did the other, but House Song or Midnight Carols?
Oh, I reckon I'm going to go Midnight Carols, I reckon. Everyone gets involved there, don't they? I think I can't even remember doing the House Song. Harding, yeah, we had...
I seem to remember one year, I can't remember if it was you or your brother, but I think you were away for something. So I do wonder if you did take part.
Yeah, it doesn't actually, yeah, I can't remember. I mean, we had such a multicultural house. My year, the Harding, I mean, you guys know, but a lot of people listening may not. We had three French guys, couple of Germans, couple of guys from China. I mean, it was, yeah, multicultural setting and that, and it was amazing. It was such a contrast of you know, personalities, people from different places interested in different things, and somehow it worked. It was amazing couple of years, really.
You had Mr. OC gluing it all together, didn't you?
One of the great men, honestly. My first 6 months when I was just settling in, I wasn't so sure. But looking back, honestly, he was so good to me. He looked after me, and you can see why he's been so successful and loved by so many that have had the honor of being in his house. He is honestly one of the great men, and had a nice catch up with him actually for the first time at the Wellington dinner at Lord's. It was the first time I'd seen him in a good couple of years, really. Yeah. Hasn't changed. What a man.
I think he's been following quite carefully Mark Church's garden test matches on Twitter recently. So I think he's become a lover of that. So I don't know if any of the listeners have probably seen that. I suspect a few of the cricketers out there have. But if you are interested, I think they're worth a watch to pass a few hours anyway watching those. Mac, if you House Song or Midnight Carols, Mac, I asked that because you obviously had a starring role this year in The Hills House Song, be it having a little solo there. So
don't need to talk about too much, but I think it would actually have to be House Singing for me. I think the preparations building up to the big night with the whole school there is quite a nerve-wracking experience, especially for me this year. But no, it's extremely enjoyable, and I think the weeks on weeks practicing it is quite a good exercise to bring everyone a bit closer across the house, and it's also an extremely enjoyable night.
Do you know what? I think I actually remember now. When you said the house song, is that what's performed in the theatre down there? Yeah, oh yeah. In the big hall in front of the whole school. Oh, that was unbelievable. Yeah, we did one actually. What did we do? We did some, yeah, I remember it. It was the choreography taking place and the late night sessions, the people calling the shots, you know, if you were late, there was big trouble. That was, yeah, those are great memories, actually.
Cool. Right. Well, let's move on. So hopefully listeners that have got a bit of a feel for sort of Mac, your background. Obviously, I suspect a lot of the current Wellingtonians will obviously be aware of your background and hopefully learn a bit about your experiences of Wellington and recent exploits, Tom. So we can move into sort of the next section if you like.
Well, Tom, looking at the World Cup recently, obviously a great moment for English history and one of, if not the greatest ending of all time in a cricket game. What was it like to be a part of all the World Cup and everything?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was, I mean, and definitely the greatest game that's ever been played. I mean, you couldn't script that. It was just incredible. But I mean, going back sort of, I mean, not even a few months, it was taking over a year, sort of that period where I first broke into the England side. I mean, I can remember from my first team meetings when I first broke into the England side, you know, Morgs and the coaches were talking about this build-up, four-year build-up to that 50-over World Cup. So it wasn't just an overnight sort of or a few months build-up. It was the whole, you know, planning, training, squad selection, if you like. I mean, that it was all sort of building up to that. So fast-forwarding from when I first sort of made my debut and that month, 2 months build up to before the World Cup getting selected, the World Cup squad getting selected, that was really hectic. The competition for places was when Jofra obviously broke onto the scene, and there was a group of five or six of us, but five bowlers that were sort of, Jofra was coming in really, you know, he's a world-class act and someone knew they were missing out basically. So you can imagine, I mean, we had a tour to West Indies and the competition for places there, boys were training. It was, I almost felt a sort of step up in the group. There was a clear, the training was just, you know, guys were doing extras after training, heavy running sessions. I mean, you know, not taking the bus back, just to say running back from training, you know, guys really stepped it up. And then that sort of carried back in the start of our summer. Pakistan came to tour and we had a few ODIs against them. And that was the last series before the World Cup was World Cup squad was selected. And that was, you know, that was a nervy sort of stressful time, to be honest. You've been a part of this group for a few years, or I'd been a part of the group for a few years, some guys longer. It was a horrible, not horrible, it was, you know, it was great for the team, I guess, and for England fans, because there were no stones being left unturned. But for us, for the guys that were in the competition for places, it was, it was pretty stressful. So when getting selected for that World Cup squad, you know, when I got that call, that was honestly a huge, huge, huge relief, and something I was really, really proud of, to be involved in the World Cup squad. The World Cup started, and what a summer it was. I obviously didn't get to play in the World Cup, which was hard as well. I mean, you sort of, you know, you're training, you're building up to play, but then at the same time, you know, you've got to be there and willing to provide for those guys, the 11 guys on the field, because, you know, those are the most important people on the day. So, you know, you try to go above and beyond, trying to enjoy it, but you want to be playing. As a sportsman, you want to be playing. So that was challenging at times. But then I think, you know, when it got to the last few games and, you know, the semi-finals, that sort of time period, you know, that game against India to Edgbaston, you know, I found myself sitting on the bench there sometimes and just trying to take it all in, because it was truly, truly amazing. The crowds were unbelievable. I mean, going to the games, you know, all over the streets, at the games, people are going mad and staying above and beyond. The game finishes, people there. It was just truly amazing. Obviously that final was just another level. It was a truly, truly amazing day. The memories, will last forever.
Yeah. So what were the preparations like, obviously, just before the tournament, and obviously being in the squad but not playing, your role in the build up to each game, and particularly in build up to the final?
The preparation, like I said before, leading up, I mean, the preparation ever since I've been involved in the England squads has been up there. You know, it's second to none, really, or environments that I've been in anyway. But like I said before, that sort of build up, I did definitely feel a little crank up on the volume there. The boys were really just stepped it up a gear. And in terms of the games, I think, you know, so, I mean, the average sort of build up to a game, say we're playing a game on the Saturday, we'd probably have a good solid training session on the Thursday, a lighter training session on the Friday. So, you know, the boys will just be topping up their skills. You know, bowlers might have a bowl in the middle, just have a feel for the ground, with obviously all the different grounds having certain factors that are, you know, a little bit different. If there's some pitches you know have a little up ramp to where you bowl, like turf, so, you know, things like that, you just I'd be obviously cracking on trying to prepare as if I was playing as well, but at the same time, you know, just giving a helping hand, trying to help the boys out, preparing to play as well, really. When the game starts, it's mixing the drinks and running around the field, pretty much.
Nice.
TC, I can't believe you ever ran up the hill at turf, did you? I can't remember who was running in from the other end with you. I can't remember now.
Surely.
Well, I think it's running uphill from both ends. That's what I remember.
It is a little bit. On the approach, yeah.
I just remember there was just a little but it's a beautiful ground. It was pretty flat. There wasn't that much of a hill. It was just a little,
it's like
speed bump just before the popping grease. Yeah. But what a ground. I remember, yeah, she's got some good memories there.
In terms of your future ambitions, TC, what would be your future ambitions in, say, the next 4 years, maybe in Ashes, or maybe going back to back on the World Cup?
It's a tough question, really, because not I mean, if you can, and almost we can go into the conversation of the red and white ball, because I feel like that sort of actually is, it's sort of guided into that question, really, because now with the, I mean, especially in the last year, the amount of white ball cricket that I played, obviously the World Cup before that, then in the winters I've been playing in the leagues where it's all white ball cricket. I actually haven't played a red ball game in so long. I mean, over a year since I played my last red ball game. So to try and get back in the test side, which is a huge ambition of mine, is actually quite hard. So it's about, in terms of actual setting goals, it's quite hard to actually pick one, because obviously now with there's a T20 World Cup supposed to be going ahead in October, and then back to back there's a T20 World Cup next year again. So that's sort of hard to look past, you know, white ball stuff for that. So obviously got huge goals in the white ball stuff to try and, you know, cement my place in that team, and be one of the first bowlers on the team sheet in the white ball stuff. And then going on to the red ball stuff when I do get my chance, to play red ball cricket back at Surrey, to try and put performances and try and get back in the test stuff. Because I mean, the dream is ideally to be playing all three formats for England. That's the ultimate goal. And then doing well. And then obviously you can pick out certain things like the World Cup, like you mentioned there, or an Ashes series. But I think first and foremost, it's about getting in the test side again and cementing my place in the white ball sides permanently.
TT, obviously, that looking at that white ball stuff and the 2020 cricket, obviously IPL this year, like you should have been out there at that. I sort of guess, like, you know, what's that been like as experience? Obviously, as a cricket fan, you watch on TV and it looks amazing, but I presume that as a player, it's probably been an amazing learning experience for you as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, I did my first IPL 2 years ago. So I didn't go last year. The year before, I did my first IPL, and it was on the back of a really, really long winter. It was my first real taste of a proper winter away. I went away in October, start of October, on the Ashes tour to Australia. Didn't play the first few test matches, so was there just like I said there, carrying the drinks in one day cricket is hard, but I think test stuff steps it up a notch as well. It's those long days, you're nodding off after a big year. So obviously did that first winter, and then we had triangular series T20s against Australia and New Zealand. Before that we had ODIs then against Australia, then five ODIs in New Zealand. And then I came back and I was cooked, really. I was that first real crack at a full-on winter. Yeah. And then I went to India straight after that. And things didn't go as well as I would have liked there. It was, it's a step up in everything when you get there. It is an amazing, amazing place to go and play cricket and play and experience. I mean, the stadiums are just full. I mean, cricket there is a religion. They honestly worship it. It's nothing like I'd ever experienced. When you're out there playing, a lot of the time you can honestly not hear. If I'm standing a meter away from you trying to have a conversation, you honestly can't hear a lot of the time. You have to really shout. So that poses its challenges. But in terms of an experience, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. My experience there didn't go as well as I would have liked in terms of the playing. So I didn't go back. I didn't go back in the auction last year. I just thought with the World Cup build up, and that was sort of my prime focus to try and make sure I am in that World Cup squad. But then, went back in the auction this year, managed to get picked up. So I would have been in Rajasthan with Stokesy, Jofra, Joss, which is something I was really looking forward to. It looked like a really, really nice bunch of guys.
Yeah.
The local Indians there alongside the English guys. So unfortunately, we're not going to be there. Well, we're supposed to. I think it actually would have been close to being finished by now, right? Actually, which is just crazy to think. Yeah, time's just flown. But I don't know if and when that'll happen. In terms of an experience even as a fan going there, I mean, I had my family come out when I was out there, and just watching it's hard to explain. It's truly, truly amazing. It's like watching a Champions League game. But cricket. What I mean? Like a big Champions League game with the fans just constantly, that constant, when you play a game at Lords or the Oval or, these grounds, they almost have that constant hum playing cricket in England. It has that, there's that constant hum. And then as the day goes on, when the beers start sinking in, gets turned up a bit, you know, and the crowd starts getting a bit more involved. But there, from ball one, is just constant. It's a truly amazing experience. As a fan, if you could get out there, yeah, I'd definitely recommend getting out there for a few games if you could.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to see a few IPL games when they had a year in South Africa. They played the whole IPL in South Africa when I was in.
Yes, yeah.
So I was lucky enough to get down to a few games there, and even there, because especially in Durban, it's got a big Indian population.
Nothing. I actually went to a game then there as well. I remember that years and years ago. That was when I only realised it. I mean, not long ago, it was because of the bombs, wasn't it? The Mumbai attacks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was probably a bit young then to really comprehend it, but yeah, that's crazy times. But yeah, what a tournament.
And TC, on the on that sort of white ball stuff, obviously now you've kind of sort of, I'm going to use the word, settled with out in Australia with in Sydney. Again, that's obviously quite a cool. I think I'm right in saying that you've got a 5-year deal. Is that right? Are you probably be able to?
So I originally signed just a 1-year deal. So my first season was, so not this previous, not this Christmas just gone, that sort of period the year before. Midway through that season, I signed a 3-year extension. So sure. I've got, so 4 years in total, 2 to go. Going back this year as defending champs, which is awesome. I absolutely love my time there. It was a tournament I'd wanted to be a part of for a couple of years. I mean, it's great viewing on TV. So as a cricket fan, you know, you're watching that, you want to be a part of it. I think the year before that, so the year actually that I ended up going, I got called up to that Ashes tour late, actually. I had signed to go and play in Hobart, for the Hobart Hurricanes, and then obviously didn't end up going, and then ended up in Sydney, which, you know, I think it's safe to say I've got a better draw there. it's an amazing tournament, and yeah, playing for the Sydney Sixers, I absolutely loved it. I mean, it's a great bunch of guys. The setup and the lifestyle there in Sydney is great. You know, it's a real morning place being there. Everyone's up early, and it just gives you that good vibe, and I loved it. So yeah, that was a great tournament last year, and looking forward to going back.
Nice. And I guess looking at what you're up to now, Tom, what's going on? What's training you?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's been crazy, to be honest. It's like I said, I got back from South Africa when we had the tour there, the T20s. When was that, sort of beginning of March time, or it was around about then, really? And I think I had a month at home before going to India. It just basically, when everything sort of started escalating, it just, when it got delayed and so on. I mean, everything was just up in the air, wasn't it? No one really knew what was going on. And I basically just set up camp at home, got a little setup in one of the rooms in my apartment. I've sort of turned it into a bit of a gym. So I've got a bike in there, some weights, kettlebells, got a heater in there. So I crank that up and get a little sweat on in there. But it's actually been really nice to spend some time at home, to be honest. The wind, you know, you play the whole summer here and you know what the English summer's like. It's sort of one game to the next and you're on the move the whole time. And this winter, because last summer I didn't play a hell of a lot in the summer with the World Cup, and then got injured when I did come back to play for Surrey, I thought I wanted to just get out and play this winter. So I did the whole winter away, and it was actually nice to come back, and I was actually looking forward to having a bit of a break. So, I mean, as horrible as this is, and as much of a disaster it is in so many different ways, this pandemic, it's actually, for me personally, felt like a nice little break, to be honest. Managed to get a good little block of training in, because, like, you know, when you're constantly playing game after game, it's all about preparation, really, and maintenance. So, you know, you're sort of doing gym sessions to prepare for the next game and maintain a certain level, rather than making physical gains and making progress in a big sort of training block like we used to do in the winters at Wellington there, which is actually something I really enjoy, that training side of it, the getting physically fit and not necessarily just constantly bowling and batting, that sort of thing. I actually enjoy the other side of it, you know, the different types of training. So I enjoy that. So it's been nice to dive into that and get involved in that during this period, really.
Nice.
But there, sorry, yeah, and then just cracking on with that, really. No one really knows what's going on.
It's all up in the air, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all up in the air, really. I think start of July is when the previous date has been sort of where it's pushed back to where they're planning things for. But, yeah, I mean, it's no one really knows what's going on. So for me, it's just about, you know, preparing as well as I can in terms of a physical shape, keeping in good physical shape and keeping the movements going, you know, throwing, even if it's the tennis ball, you know, in the park for the dog type thing, or bowling into, you know, in the thing. Yeah, I think this week I might have a little bowl. I've seen an Astro there in Battersea Park. So I'll have a little bowl, then run and get the ball just to get the body going again. But yeah, it's just taking each day as it comes, really, making do, trying to stay in a positive mental headspace, try to stay physically fit, and yeah, just take each day as it comes.
One little question for you, TC, who's the best player you've played with and against? Obviously, you've played against some of the current greats.
Yeah, right. Let's have a little think about that. Okay, so played with, I'm probably going to go with Joss Butler. Do you know why? Because he can do things that I think very, very few people in the world can do. He can change that game and take a game away from you in a heartbeat. I mean, some of the knocks I've seen him play, he played a knock in West Indies where I was honestly watching. The ball was going like my four iron. Just, you know, a power fade into the top tier. but yeah, no, he's a freak. He's unbelievable. And one of the hard workers, you know, he's a seriously hard trainer, great guy. So I'm going to go with him, especially from an English side. I mean, AB de Villiers isn't too bad as well. I played with him when I played in this winter in this South African league that I went to play in. He was unbelievable just watching him as well. But it's part of the beauty of it. Like, I mean, you mentioned it earlier, how, you know, training with guys that were better than you, or older, more experienced, you know, you're learning from them and you know, you're developing as you grow. And that's still how I feel, you know, when I'm in the changing and mixing with these guys, you know, you watch these guys, how they train, you feed off them, you have conversations and, you know, you get tips off them. And that's, I think, the best way of learning is watching how these guys do it. The guys that have done it on the big stage for, you know, years.
Who would be the player you've played against that you've tried to learn the most from?
Played against, yeah, I'm trying to have a think. I mean, the hardest guys that I've played against would obviously be the batters, really. So, like Steve Smith and the Ashes there, that was just horrible to bowl to. I mean, you didn't really know, especially the games that I played. I felt like I just had nowhere to go.
That's incredible about him, isn't it? That, like, it literally seems whatever people have tried, sort of take out that, you know, obviously really scary incident at Lords.
Yeah.
And when Joffre was clearly bowling very quickly. Like, that's probably the only time on that I can think of off the top of my head at the moment where Steve Smith, like, he's ever struggled. I mean, a phenomenal individual, and obviously with his own unique method of doing it. Must, as a bowler, when you're stood at the end of your run-up, and, you know, you guys will talk about plans and field settings and ideas, like, it must just be relentless when you're kind of going through those plans and thinking, right, what's plan B, what's plan C, what's plan D.
I mean, in the test stuff, when I played there, that was tough, because test match, you know, there's, I think, one day cricket, you can come up with plans, and, you know, on any day, sort of, even the world's greatest can, you know, chase one because they're trying to play attacking. Whereas a test match, when you've got 5 days to bat on a flat wicket, I think that's tough. If the ball's not moving around or there's not a bit of bounce in the wicket, which there wasn't when I bowled to him, you're just hoping how I got him out, really. has a filthy hack at a wide one and then cleans him up. And then give it big ones.
Tom, and moving on, go on. So obviously both of you, I could ask this question of you and Mac, and I'm sure you'd say me, or you'd say Mr. Franklin or something like that, but you don't have to say me. But if you had to pick a best coach sort of since you've left Wellington, let's say, so I'll sort of take myself out of the running.
Yeah. Fair enough. Just so it's not
awkward. But if you had to sort of pick a best coach, you've obviously worked with, you know, some real greats of the game. Like someone I really admire and watched a lot in terms of his behaviour and how he speaks, Trevor Bayliss, I think has been, you know, an amazing sort of asset to English cricket and still is an asset to English cricket. But your experience is there. Best coach
likewise I've had some really really good coaches, been really lucky. Sort of when I first started at Surrey, one of my first couple of years, Graham Ford came in and was made head coach. He was great. He had a really really nice way about going about his business, and I think that helped me ease my way into the first team as well. He made it really easy for me, but he did push me as well, and yeah, I got on really well with 40, so he was good. And then, I mean, at Surrey, I've had some great coaches as well come in after that. Div has been great, obviously winning the championship there. But I think the one coach that I think was really, really good was Andy Flower, who I really enjoyed working with, was Andy Flower.
Yeah.
He was sort of in charge of the Lions programs, which I did two full winters with the Lions in Dubai and Sri Lanka, which was sort of full-on training schedules. You know, 3 month blocks where you had a month of training and then went to Dubai, prepared, and then did a month tour in Sri Lanka or so on. And he was really good. I loved the way he went about it. And yeah, he helped me a lot on those tours. So I think he would definitely be up there.
If you had to sort of like pick into sort of his, because obviously, the way people speak about Flowers, an amazing playing career himself and seems like a super intelligent guy. And I think you hear a lot of sort of players talk really highly of him. If there is any sort of specific characteristics you think from a coaching angle that really set him apart?
I mean, I obviously had known of him from a younger age as well. So when you go there and he's talking about batting and that sort of thing, that's just a given, you know, in terms of the technical stuff, guys that are coaching at that level generally all have a great knowledge of the game and technical advice, but I think it's about delivering it and conversations and the way Andy was as a person, and just say it how it is, basically. You know, if he would not be afraid to, you know, pull you up and give you a bit of trouble if you've done this wrong or question you here. And I enjoyed that, you know. I think that's how you know, if you're having tough conversations with coaches and tough conversations with yourself, looking yourself in the mirror because, you know, you've been asked these questions and challenged, I feel like that's a great way of developing. And in those years of the Lions tours, which I feel like, you know, I had the most development as a player and the most growth as a player as I stepped up those, playing levels, he helped me a lot. And the way he delivered his messages, the way he got the group working together, because, you know, on those Lions tours, it's a strange environment, really, because you're a team, but at the same time, you know, it's a mixture of 15, 16 guys, all from around different counties, all at a similar standard, all trying to break into the England side. Yeah. So you're kind of competing as well. And I felt like when I was there, the environment that was created was a really good one. And I think he had a lot of credit to take from that. For that, sorry.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's spoken of so high. It's interesting, sort of, and been really successful in different areas, hasn't he, as well? So moving tact a little bit, Mac, I'll come to you. I'll ask first, and then I'll go to Tom. Sort of, you've both moved from South Africa to the UK, which presents its challenges, something that I've never sort of experienced, that overseas move, particularly as a young person trying to make your way and things like that. If there was the biggest challenge in that process, Mac, for you?
I think the biggest challenge for me, especially, well, as a batsman, was adapting, like, the way the different style of pitches in South Africa compared to here. I struggled early on when I moved back here as a 13-year-old, the pitches being a lot slower and obviously playing in overcast conditions a lot more, so there's a little bit more in it for the bowlers. And
that Red Duke's ball, isn't it?
yeah, the Red Duke's ball and maybe a bit of rain the night before and the ball sticking in the wicket a bit. It definitely presents its challenges a bit more than it did in South Africa as a batsman. I was used to playing on some pretty flat decks out there in the baking hot sunshine. But yeah, so just adapting to different ways to play. And but then again, that's made, I think that's made me a better player and learning to be adaptable. And because obviously you will still get a flat wicket here, and then the next week you might get one that's not as well prepared, or it's been a little bit wet during the week, and you've got to play different ways in different circumstances and find a way to get runs in all of them.
Yeah. And Tom, same question to you. Obviously, you sort of spoke earlier about that, the background of moving South Africa, and obviously you'd experienced probably a transition with a move from schooling in Zimbabwe before getting to Hilton, but then moving from South Africa to the UK. Yeah, sort of the unique challenges that whole process posed to you.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, the first thing that jumps to mind, like I said, I came back end of the summer. It was the start of the winter, really. So that was the first challenge I had, was that first English winter experience, you know, the you going to waking up and going to class when it's dark and leaving when it's dark, and the wet and this like that, to be honest, was a new experience for me, which I found quite tough at the start. And then in terms of the cricket, I think, well, with the ball, it was just amazing, because all of a sudden the ball was just swinging. And like Max said, you know, you're playing on a few green seamers, and I found that really enjoyable. You know, some of the net sessions, I remember going up to Surrey as a youngster, you know, if you're training on flat wickets and the batters are whacking you everywhere, it's not as nice when you're turning up on a few underprepared green ones and you're just nipping it both ways, peppering these experienced professionals on the inner thigh rather than just getting smacked everywhere. So that was fun with the bat, and then the complete opposite with the ball. With the ball, and then the complete opposite with the bat. Yeah. Because it was, yeah, it's just completely different, especially in red ball cricket with the ball moving around. I mean, the technique is just, you can't, you know, it's just completely different. You can't be going as hard at the ball, and I struggled with that in red ball cricket and the champo stuff with my batting, and still something I'm actually working on massively. But yeah, the ball was good.
Yeah, those certainly the overcast and the underfoot conditions can be favourable, can't they, or more favourable to the bowlers over here, I suspect. Before I pass back to Mac and look at some of the stuff's kind of Wellington wise. One sort of final question for me on Wellington times, Tom, and if you were to look back and think, I always think it's you know, it's nice for Wellington that you kind of reflect really positively on your time here, and hopefully sort of we played a role in sort of helping you develop as a young person and as a cricketer and all of that. But is there anything you look back and you kind of regret not being able to get involved in as much at school? Because obviously, I can remember your time here where you were sort of off evenings training and then travelling up to the Oval to train and bits and pieces like that. So is there anything sort of, if you looked back, that you regret missing out on or anything like that?
Do you know what? I actually don't really have any regrets. Honestly, I remember, like you said, that was all such a new experience for me. And it wasn't really, I mean, it was a new experience for Wellington really as well, yeah. Wasn't it? We've spoken about it since, but sort of, you know, being allowed to have my car into school and then nipping out when everyone else was in, you know, doing homework and stuff, and I'll go and do Monday, Wednesday training at Surrey. That was all a new experience for me as well. And that first year after, you know, spending a full year, my first year doing AS levels at Wellington and then playing that first summer with Surrey, that coming back, I mean, Pratty, you remember that coming back for my last year was hard. That was hard sort of coming from that and then going back to studying and back and forth. And you know, I pushed through that sort of the urge, you know, there was a bit of white noise about sort of, you know, do I need to go back and do my last year type thing. And you know, back then you didn't know, you know, I could have had maybe one good season and then just the wheels come off type thing. So I'm really, really pleased that I pushed through, finished school, you know, got my A levels and had a really enjoyable second year at Wellington. It was honestly, I look back at Wellington, I've only got really, really, really good memories. So yeah, thankfully I can't tell you that I have many regrets.
No obvious regrets. Well, that's good.
Maybe actually not behave. Well, I regret behaving so well in your classes. I could have really caused some troubles there.
Right. If that was you behaving well in my classes, then I'm worried.
We had a great class there, actually. Oh, you did well. You did well, Pratty.
Never got the pleasure of being taught by you, Mr. Pratt. You've always managed to avoid me.
I have. Yeah, I know. No, it's not. It wasn't planned that way. Just how it fell.
Tom, in your first year after leaving Wellington, just what would you say was your biggest challenge in that first year out? Obviously, you were already in that Surrey setup and everything. So how did that happen, really?
Yeah, like everything, really, it just does happen so quickly. So I sort of left school and had my first full summer with Surrey, really. So it was sort of, you know, when I was at Wellington, we had obviously Wellington games, and I had school commitments, and there was a bit of Surrey stuff in between. It was just a sort of a constant sort of, you know, conversations being had between Wellington and Surrey for what was right for Wellington, what was right for Surrey, what was right for me. And it was just to sort of take it as it came, really. And obviously after finishing at Wellington, I had my first full summer with Surrey. So it was nice to just, you know, dive into that and get involved in my first proper year of professional cricket. I was just enjoying the journey, really, just, you know, taking it all in and trying to break. Oh, no, sorry, I'd played. So, yeah, basically it was my first full year in the first team and trying to, take wickets in the championship, you know, do well in the 50-over stuff and just put performances in. I was, you know, a young kid that was playing at some of the best grounds in the world. It was just an amazing time, really. So it was just about taking that all in, improving as a player, and learning. So that was great. And then obviously after that was then my first winter. So the winters now have changed a bit, but back then, you know, it was a bit of club cricket training a couple of times a week. And it was just amazing. It was a first real taste of international cricket, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
In your last year at school, the discussions between Surrey and school and what's best for you and stuff, that was probably quite hard. What was the hardest bit about that?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I mean, like I've touched on it earlier, Wellington and Surrey were unbelievable. I mean, Alex Stewart and everyone at Surrey were so, so good. They were, you know, honest. They were understanding. Wellington obviously had, you know, things that they needed me for, and Surrey wanted me, you know, for a few games here. But it was, I mean, Patty, you will remember those conversations, but the long and short of it, they were all done so well, weren't they? Yeah. Everyone... the communication for me, it was never made hard for me, really. It was none of the decisions were ever really put on me. I can remember.
No, I was going to say, Tom, I think that's something that is I don't think we've ever really spoken a great deal about all of that kind of stuff. But I think that's quite cool hearing you say that we'd obviously sort of try and always put you guys, and I'm looking on my screen at the moment, you included in this, Mac, as well, and every pupil at Wellington, when there's those awkward sort of balances, and it's tough, isn't it, where, you know, Tom, you'd really quickly moved into sort of that professional sporting world and trying to sort of maintain a balance that meant that you were progressing in terms of your sporting career, but that we were still trying to sort of make sure from a Wellington end that, you know, we were sort of developing you academically as a sort of a rounded human being and all those kind of things, that that you didn't feel that you were put in the middle of those. And like you say, I think, you know, Surrey and particularly Alec Stewart, sort of phenomenal in that process as well. And Gareth Townsend, someone else sort of on the academy side, people at Surrey sort of really supportive of that whole process.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, actually, yeah, Gareth was unbelievable. Gareth was obviously running the academy stuff where I was going there every Monday and Wednesday to go and do training sessions. He was great. He was really, really good. It was hard. That sort of, you know, I wanted to be playing for, you know, those Surrey games as well. So, you're still at school, but I've got an exam to study for, so I couldn't be nipping off. But it was, you guys made it really easy, Pratty. So thank you for that.
I'm pleased we did, and I'm just sort of conscious of time. We've just run over an hour there, and sort of hopefully listeners will, when they listen back to this, will find it interesting and insightful, and will have stuck with us. But just to, I guess, to look at sort of rounding things up, I mean, Tom, if I said to you, if you were to kind of reflect back on on your time as a sort of lower sixth former and then an upper sixth former. Is there any sort of advice you'd give of based on what you've gone through of sort of balancing the sporting commitments you had and then growing up as a young person, the academic stuff as well. Obviously sort of the norm for a Wellington pupil is really balancing different areas of life that they're involved in. Is there anything kind of looking back on that now that you think really helped you do that?
Yeah, no, well, absolutely. I mean, you sort of said it there really nicely. And if I had any advice for, you know, someone like you, Mac, you know, you guys are, you know, young, aspiring young professionals, but at the same time, you know, learning your trade and academics and whatnot, I would honestly say just get involved and try and get involved in all these different things, because I think that's one thing I sort of fought quite a lot when I was at school, is I was sort of so set on, I knew what I was going to do. I knew, you know, cricket was what I wanted to do. So, you know, why should I be doing academics type thing, which I think it was my mindset at times as a youngster, as a sort of a low six student. But I think that developed, and especially now looking back, I mean, it's so easy for me to tell you this now because, you know, I've gone through it, but looking back, I'm so pleased that I did, like I touched on there earlier, stick with the academics, and I got involved in a lot of stuff, you know, different stuff at Wellington, which when you leave school, you actually look back on and miss, you know, that sort of thing. Because it's truly, truly amazing. Like Prati, I mean, when you and I used to train there in the Olympic gym together, like, you know, to have those sort of like, you know, you got everything there for you, take advantage of it, you know, get involved. That'll no doubt stand you in good stead moving forward, like it has done so many previous guys who are going to continue to go through what, you know, I've gone through and what many more will after me.
Cool. Thank you, Tom. I think we'll sort of wrap up there. I'm aware you've given an hour of your time, which I think is really good of you.
No worries. That's right.
You've probably got a gym session to go to. But no, see, on a serious note, Tom, obviously thank you very much. We've spoken a bit before about this kind of stuff, and I think it's, you know, really insightful, and I think you've had a phenomenal, and I'm going to say, start to your career, and I sort of do hope that's the case. You know, sort of what a way to start, kind of playing professional cricket whilst you were still finishing at school, having an Ashes debut away from home down under as well, and then being part of a World Cup. I'm certain that sort of the, you know, the best in your career is undoubtedly still to come. So thank you for your time today, Tom, and best of luck in sort of whatever cricket holds in the next few months with what's going on. But yeah, best of luck.
Oh, thanks. No, thank you. Thanks, Prati, for those words, and yeah, thanks for having me. It's been really nice. It's actually brought back so many really cool memories, actually, little things, you know, that you forget about school and Wellington. So yeah, I'll be reminiscing this evening. So thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you very much, Tom.
No worries.
Cool. Cheers, DC.
All right, cheers, guys. Thank you.
See you later. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Mac, just to sort of wrap things up there, like I don't know if you've got any sort of key thoughts there from chatting to Tom and sort of his time at Wellington, his cricketing experience, kind of what he's done since there, if there's anything that stood out for you there.
Yeah, I think it's just, it highlights like those that put in the extra effort and the extra training sessions. Obviously, he was lucky enough to be given the opportunity, but going away Monday, Wednesday to Surrey, and he put in that extra bit of work, which ultimately will be one of the main contributors as to why he is where he is today, which is obviously at the very peak of elite level cricket and doing more and more things as years go by, and hopefully more to come of that.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's probably a good life lesson, isn't it? In terms of, you know, you spoke about that World Cup sounded like it was quite an interesting process towards the end of lads running back from the training ground to the hotel and things like that. Maybe that's something we should start at the end of a Wellington session. We'll get people running back to boarding houses just to put in those extra few yards.
Down in the Robin Dyer Centre, run with your bag on your back.
it might make people think carefully about their choice of house, wouldn't it? We might see sort of Beresford, Benson in future years might become more popular with cricketers just because of their location.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, Mac, I think that's spot on, and maybe a good note to finish on. Thank you for your time as well, and I hope you're managing okay in lockdown and staying safe and still getting some cricket in. And hopefully the listeners will have found that an interesting conversation to listen to.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. Absolutely. Cheers, sir.
Well, Mac, stay safe. Thank you. Talking, feeling on a cloud, no off.